Let's pray this prayer together out loud, okay? And I know y'all know this, but the prayer is, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart and change my life. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, with a little passion. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Speak to my heart.
Speak to my heart.
Change my life.
Change my life.
In your precious name, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all can sit down. I won't keep you too long. I know you got barbecues and all that. Maybe. What you got going, Mike?
Going to Dad's.
Well, praise God. If you got your Bibles, go to Mark 16. I know you're all familiar with this. It's really going somewhere. I'm not going to preach about this, but it's got to be there to get where we're going, okay? Last thing Jesus said before he left the planet to ascend into heaven, he told his disciples, he said, go, what? Into all the world and preach the gospel. Those who are baptized, believe and are baptized will be saved. Those who believe not will be damned. And then it says, these signs shall follow those who believe, which is everybody in this room that knows Jesus, right? These signs will follow those who believe. They will cast out demons, right? They'll speak with new tongues. They're bitten by a poisonous snake, it won't harm them, right? If they're given deadly poison, it won't hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. They didn't die in the first century. The church started teaching that it died in the first century, and only when God was in a good mood in very special circumstances did God move supernaturally. And so when people were taught that and believed that and grew up in that, they believed that. They believed God, yes, he's still supernatural, but it's very rare that he ever... Does that make sense? Because that's American church's mindset, okay, for the most part. Well, I'm glad it's not Jesus' mindset, huh? He's good, isn't he? Mark 16, 17. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. And we just went through all that. What's a sign? It's a miracle. It's a wonder. And I like this definition from Strong's. It says, a miracle, a wonder by which God authenticates the men sent by him, or by which men prove that the cause they are pleading is God's. Signs following. Did you notice it said, go and preach? You've been doing a lot of that, Ben, haven't you? Go and preach. And when you do that, you have brought yourself, you've already fulfilled the command to go preach. And to go in all the world. And, you know, everybody thinks that that verse is only for missionaries. Guess what? You're a missionary to the United States of America. Mike's a missionary. It's not Raytheon. What's the name of your company?
Whalen Machining.
Mike's a missionary to Whalen Machining. You and Danny are missionaries to what? Dow Chemical, right? I was a missionary to Bell South, to the Lyman and the Heathen. Who are you a missionary to? The barge people? The barge people. I like that. The boat people. The barge people. Aaron, you're a missionary to?
National Guard.
Some of y'all are missionary to homeschools, right? Some of y'all are missionaries to your family and children. I mean, everybody has got a ministry. Is that true?
Yeah.
It is true, isn't it? Even if you don't have a plaque, even if you don't have a card in your pocket, you have a ministry. You have a ministry to young people at Floyd Central High School. How many of y'all work? You used to teach in schools. What a ministry. Who else is involved in schools? Yes, you substitute in schools, right? And what do, young man? Cause trouble in schools? No, you go to school. I'm just teasing you. He's a good man. He's a good man. What's your mission field, Sarah? Yeah, what's the name of the place? Say it loud.
Project
Fertilizer. I thought maybe it was rusting out cars and running undercarriages ministry. Anyway, so these signs, we know what a sign is. It's a wonder. It's a miracle. What's a sign and a wonder and a miracle to you? Just shout it out. Confirmation that Jesus is in you. But what are some signs and miracles that you can think of?
Resurrection.
Healing.
Resurrection.
Resurrection from what?
Yeah.
Dead folks coming back to life? What else? Baptized in the Holy Spirit. How about delivered from addictions? Is that something Jesus still does? Hold your hands up if you've been delivered from something. Praise God. Woo! Yes! Don't hold your hands up if you still need to be delivered from something. I do. There's still things. The obvious ones, it's the ones in the heart, you know, that nobody knows about. He's still got work to do, doesn't he? So he does signs and wonders. Did anybody else have any sign or wonder they wanted to shout out?
Healing of a broken heart.
Deliverance from devils.
Restoration of family.
Yes. Praise the Lord. So these signs will follow. I like follow. What's follow mean to you? I know, that's so simple. It's like, I looked this up. To follow one is to be always at his side, to follow close, to accompany, to be always present, to attend one wherever he goes, to follow. And I thought of a shadow. Everywhere I go, the shadow's right there with me. You know, and that's, these things should follow after you because you are a child of God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, right? These signs will follow those who believe. Ever heard of Rick Renert? He's written several books, but that don't mean he's nothing. But I love this definition he gave for those who believe. He said, I want to draw your attention to the word believe. Because of the tense used with this Greek word, this verse should be better translated. These signs will follow those that are constantly believing. In other words, these signs don't come automatically just because a person once walked the aisle and gave his heart to Jesus. These signs follow those who are constantly believing for them to occur. Makes sense to me. If a Christian isn't believing for these signs to be manifested or expecting them to follow him, they probably won't. Does that like tip your grace wagon or something? Think about that. You have not because you ask not. And sometimes it says you have not because you ask amiss or in error, right? Like everything else in the kingdom of God, signs and wonders are activated by faith. Does that make sense? And I heard a teacher one time. It was Curry Blake. He was kind of with the John G. Lake Healing Ministry. But he said, there was some error in the faith movement. If this rattles your cage, okay, that's okay. You don't have to agree with it. But it's like if I prayed for Ben, let's say Ben had some kind of terminal illness, which you don't in Jesus' name. Let's say if we prayed for Ben and he croaked out the next day, I could say, well, it was Ben's fault because he didn't have enough faith to believe. Bless God. It's not true. How many people did Jesus pray for that didn't have any faith? Oh, there's one verse where it says, your faith has made you whole, but it's not. It's Danny's faith. It's, you know, it's Buster's faith. It's Deb's faith that's activated by the Word of God. What if it don't happen then? Hey, God's got to, you know, you just got to give it. You do what God says to do. And then you rest in it. The pressure's not on you. The pressure's not on the person you're praying for. You don't have to have any fear. I've never prayed for anybody to be healed that came back to me and said, "You shouldn't have prayed for me because..." No. Everybody appreciates you laying hands on them and praying for them. Most everybody, right? Yes. Yes. Wait a minute. Let me get a mic or they won't hear it on the World Wide Web. There'll be a big blank spot.
My grandmother was dying with cancer, and I had a pastor come to me, and he gave me a prayer cloth, and he said, "If you lay this on your grandmother and you pray for her and that you believe she'll be healed, she'll be healed." And I said, "Okay." And I can remember I went to my grandma's, and she was up there. They had hospice there and everything. My mom was there, and my Aunt Rita and my Uncle Howard was there. And I can remember I laid that on her chest, and I prayed. And it wasn't 45 seconds later, my grandma gave the death rattle. She raised her hands up. She said, "Jesus, am I worthy?" She smiled, and she died. And I was so mad at God because he didn't heal her the way that I wanted her to be healed.
Amen.
But he did heal her because he took her home. And a lot of times when we pray for things, you know, "This is what I want, God." God will answer our prayers because he's faithful and he's just to answer our prayers. But it might not be what we wanted. He knows
Amen.
What's best for us.
Amen.
And that I struggled with that. I really did. But I know now that my grandma's in heaven. She's completely healed. And, you know, she's dancing with the angels.
Amen. Praise the Lord. In other words, your kingdom come. Your will be done, Lord. But you don't quit. You don't just surrender. You do what he told you to do. You ask, right? Can y'all stand up? If you can't, that's fine. I got a couple of confessions I'd like for us to confess. There's power in that when we do that together, isn't it? Let's just say, as whether this is true of you or not, okay? Let's just all say it together. Lord,
I admit
I haven't been expecting
signs and wonders
to follow me
as I ought to.
From this moment onward,
I release my faith
for the miraculous to follow me when I preach or share the gospel
with unbelievers.
Holy Spirit, let the power of God
flow
and confirm
the message.
Let God's signature be all over the gospel that I preach, because I am constantly releasing my faith for the miraculous to follow me wherever I go. I expect, say it again, I expect to see people healed, blind eyes open, captives set free by the power of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Well, thank you. Y'all can sit down. Praise the Lord. God has given everyone spiritual gifts. Would you agree with that? It says we're all members of one body, but we all have different functions, right? It says that. And I'm not going to read all this because I don't want to make this real long. I got lots of scripture to read, and I'm just going to touch on, you know, what it says. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of what? All. One is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit of God. One's given the word of knowledge. What else? Gifts of healings. What else?
Hospitality.
Excuse me?
Hospitality.
What else?
Discernment.
Faith. What else?
Discernment.
Miracles. Discernment. Interpretation of tongues. I don't know if we touched them. A prophecy. Words of knowledge. Words of wisdom. I don't know if we touched them all, but you get the idea. What?
Gifts.
Like helps ministries. Oh, there are helps ministries. Yeah, mention them too, because they are important. Gifts. Helps. Administration. Hospitality. There's some people are really good at getting a dinner together and inviting people and enjoying it. Other people are like, I really don't want to do that. You know what your gifting is because you enjoy doing it, don't you? Well, praise the Lord. So we admit, let's just say we admit there's gifts. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And say, I've got one, at least one. I've got at least one. How many know y'all? How many know what one of your gifts is? How many of y'all know you? How many of y'all know that you've got more than one gift? I want all the gifts of the Spirit, don't you? I'm greedy. I want every one of them. I don't want to be lacking in anything. So we admit we got gifts. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. I'll let you look at it. I want you to look at it as I read it. Say when you got it. Say, got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Got it. Used to, you heard pages rustling. Now you hear keyboards clicking. Verse 6, I remind you to stir up what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through what? The laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, and that really translates to timidity. It's like you get an opportunity to minister the gospel, but you're timid and fearful. That's not God. He wants you to boldly use those gifts he's put in you. He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of what? A power, which is what? Dunamis, like wonderful miracle-working power. He's given you power and love and a sound mind. Jesus was called the what? Messiah. He was called the Christ. Was that his last name? We got to talking about this Friday night. We was trying to say, what was Joseph and Mary's last name? Joseph the carpenter? I don't even recall him mentioning the last name, did they? Jesus' last name was not the Christ. That was his title. That's who he was, the Christ, which means the anointed one, the Messiah. If Jesus was anointed and we ask Jesus to come into our life and come into our heart, then we are walking in the anointing, which the anointing is very, very important, isn't it? Yes. Because what does the anointing do? What's one thing the anointing does? It destroys the yoke. And you know what a... Not talking about the yolk of an egg. I had somebody get up here the other night, Samuel and Daniel. But if y'all ever in school, did you ever have a book where you looked and there was two oxen and they had this wooden thing on their necks and they pinned them together and they worked. But if they were unequally yoked, if one was a lot faster than the other one, well, the plow went all over the field. They had to be equally yoked. It's just like in marriage, when one's a believer and one's not, well, they can't come to agreement and they can't fulfill the destiny that God wants them to fulfill. But praise God, God can get a hold of our mates, can't he, and set them free. So Jesus breaks the yoke, and the yoke he's talking about is Mike was yoked with the devil at one time, weren't you? I'm not telling people nothing they don't know, but he was a heathen. He came out of it when you was what? 17, 18 years old? 19. You came out quick. I was just getting a real good start at 19. But God, he was good. He was good. But I had a big yoke on me, a big thick yoke, and I liked it. I wasn't burnt out on the world. I wasn't burnt out on sin and drugs and everything that goes. I liked it. But I found something better before I had to, what do they call it, reaping? For everything you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow goodness, you're going to reap goodness. If you sow destruction, you're going to reap destruction. But praise God, you know, I think he even stops that harvest of evil. Hadn't he? Think somewhere some of y'all would have been right now if you'd stayed on the path you were on. And I'm talking about me. You know, I'm getting a Social Security check now. I'd probably have oxygen hooked up to me, and who knows what I'd be going through. But man, God is so good. He is so good. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How many of y'all ever had a broken heart? What's a broken heart? Tell me what a broken heart is. In your own words, what's a broken heart? You lose a child. Oh, for sure. What did you say, Laura?
Broken relationships, you're broken, you're sad, you don't feel like you have any hope, you get depressed.
Amen. And that's why Jesus is such, when I came to Jesus, you know, I'm going to tell you something. The very best saint in the world is going to let you down, or you're going to perceive that they've let you down. I've never had a friend in my whole life that I didn't feel at one time or another let me down. Does that? And it can break your heart. You know what? When a heathen says something to me and cusses me or don't accept me, guess what? It's like, well, you know, they're just doing what comes natural. I don't, like a thief on the cross. He was cussing Jesus and cursing him and cursing him and cursing him. But when somebody you love and that loves you, when another believer wounds you, it's like, whoa, I didn't expect that. And that cuts deep. But you know, most of the time it's perception. Most of the time it's misunderstanding. And but the point is no matter what happens and who lets you down, and if nobody on this planet loves you, if mom don't love you, if dad don't love you, if your children hate you, I admit, that's a bad report. But Jesus said he was a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Man, and he will never leave you or forsake you. He will always be there, Deb. Always. 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 What is there? Help me find the scriptures. Is it in Corinthians? Neither height nor depth. Help me find that. It will be able to separate me from the, is it Romans? Find it for me. I'll let you read it. Will separate me from the love of Jesus Christ or God. You're going to have to read it for me. Tell me when you get it and I'll... Romans 8, you got it? I'll let you read it to us. It's good to have Bible scholars in the room, I'm telling you.
I don't know about that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
May I go on? Yeah, go on and read a little more.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more
yes.
than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I step on you? No, you would have yelled if I'd stepped on you. So nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, right? Not even demons. Not even principalities, which is big, huge. They cover regions. They try to bring bad spiritual atmosphere to regions. Praise the Lord. He is so good, isn't he? How many of y'all know you need the anointing? The anointing is smeared on, it's ointment, it's ointment, and it's rubbed on, it's rubbed in. And by gosh, you know, when King David got anointed to be king, they didn't, like we kind of little dabble, do you? Just a little bit there, brother. Just a little bit. That's good. They went, whoosh. Only it was a big horn like that shofar, and they poured it on them and just puddled on them. It said, how much does the Lord love unity? It said it's like the anointing oil flowing down the hair and the beard and dripping off the robe of Aaron. The anointing. And see, unity, I'm finding out, unity in the church brings anointing. Yeah, yeah. When we have these Highway 150 meetings and five or six churches come together, even if there's a handful of people, there's anointing there. The anointing of God is there, and God is pleased, going, yes, this is what I planned when I started the church. I didn't mean for this to be all this separation. So praise God. Oh, I want to do that so bad, but I don't want to mess this carpet up. Well, you know, when I got anointed, when I got called to preach, I was kind of like, I don't feel worthy to be a pastor. No, I just didn't feel worthy. It's like, God, you know what I've done, you know where I've been. How can I be a pastor? How can I be a shepherd when I have strayed so hard myself? But it came down to, we was in a retreat in the Smoky Mountains. You was there. Sienna. Dave. I can't remember who all was there.
Cindy was
there. Cindy, Donna. And Jan. Yeah, Shannon and Ted and Jan were there. And Jan came up to me, and you know what she said? She said, Mark, are you going to be our pastor or what? I was already doing but let's just leave titles alone. She said, are you going to be a pastor or what? I'm like, okay, but y'all are going to have to anoint me. And they got their little fingers. I said, no. I said, let's put some towels down on this cabin floor and wham, I want to be anointed. And you know, from that point on, everything changed. The authority of God came on. It wasn't the oil that did that either. It was the recognition. The recognition. So I'd like to anoint everybody that would like to be anointed today. I'd just like to anoint you into deeper. You're already anointed. But I believe God wants to anoint you into a deeper walk. Deeper in your calling. Let me read a couple more scriptures, because faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing by the word of God. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus. You remember when it happened? He went down under the water. When he came up, it said something that looked like a dove came and lighted on him. The Holy Spirit came on him. And then he was driven into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. And then he did his first miracle. And then he was just wham. He was just walking in the power of God. Right? He was anointed. For all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Verse John, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One. So let's stand up. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all know we need to be anointed? Jesus. Put on some worship, would you? Let's just close our eyes and hold our hands up for a minute and worship Jesus. You're so good, Lord. You're so good, Lord. You're so good, Jesus. You know, we started that out with go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved, and those who believe not will be damned. So if you look up for a second and you look there at that first wind that's blowing across this church and this land, it's a wind of repentance. Last week, that little girl, Hannah, has been coming out here for 3 weeks. She's had a lot of hurt in her life. She came up and gave her life to Jesus. She's going to get baptized next Sunday. Now, she's already saved as she's going to get. But the baptism's that obedience to go to the next level, you know. Praise the Lord. And it was 2 weeks ago that, help me think your granddaughter's name is Kelsey. She came forward. So God is working the work of repentance right now. He's getting his bride ready. He's getting the true bride of Jesus Christ ready. When we get repentance going on, then revival will come. Revival will come. So right now, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we come to you and we believe, Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts. We prayed you would speak to our hearts and change our lives, Jesus. Oh God, we love you. You can keep that playing. That's good stuff to play. Jesus, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. I'd like you to put your name. Some of y'all just humor me. I want you to put your name in this scripture. Say, for God so loved. Now say your name, your full name. Mark Stephen Avery. Say it again with your full name. For God so loved that you gave, Lord, your only begotten Son, Jesus. So that if, put your name in there again. Come on, say it out loud. Would just believe, trust in, follow. They would not perish, but I would have eternal life. God, Lord, you didn't send Jesus. You didn't send him into the world to condemn me. You sent him into the world to save me, deliver me, free me, give me new life, give me joy, give me hope. Give me back everything the enemy's stolen, to take away depression, to set me free from the chains of the enemy, like Jamie was leading the chains. He is able to break every chain. But the first chain you'll deal with is pride, and that's the only thing that'll keep you from this altar this morning. If you need Jesus to forgive you, if you need Jesus to come and give you life, His arms are wide open right now. He said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you know him? Do you know him? If you need to come to Jesus, if you need to give your life to Jesus right now, just come up here right now. Just come up and kneel at that altar. If you've known him and you're away from him, you call it backslidden. If you want to come back to the Father's house, his arms are wide open. What must I do to be saved? Surrender. Surrender. but I need to clean up first. No, you can't clean yourself up. That's ridiculous. You can't do it. Only Jesus can clean us up, and he'll clean us up in his time. Not in Pastor Mark's time, not in other people in your family and life's time, but in his time. He will clean you up. So if that's you, if you need Jesus to forgive you, please come up to this altar right now. Right now. Don't let the enemy keep you away from the good things of God. Yes.
Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
That's good. That's good. If you need prayer, right now, if you need prayer, anybody that's sick in body, come over here on this side of the altar right now. Right now. Come on. Come on. You need healing in any way, any form. Don't keep away from the good things of the Lord. Over here on this side. Anybody's got soulish issues they need to deal with, like addictions, like night terrors. You wake up in the middle of the night and you're just petrified and you're glued to the bed and you can't wake up. I feel like somebody's dealing with that. God will set you free from that right now in Jesus' name. Anybody. Tormenting spirits is what I call them. Anybody. I know. Jesus. If that's you, come up here, over here on this side here. Mike, Danny, Dennis, get up here and start praying the prayer of healing. Mike, Bill, Chuck, come on up. Start praying. Come on up, brother. Need catchers, too.